¿Cómo están?
Bien.
How are you doing? Good?
I'm just trying to put everything here. I'm good, gonna see this. I can handle this fine.
It's good. Even, could you hear me, right? So, it's a great privilege being here with you tonight. I just see a lot of faces that we know, friends that we met before, or here, or maybe in the mission trips, and we just joined together some pupusas, right? Or being with you like a Saulo, my friend, being in his house, his apartment. And, I heard something that Jesus is coming soon. I heard something like Matthew 24 is showing some kind of signals about that the Lord is coming soon because someone is going to get married soon. So, friends, love you, man. And you know who told me that, right? So you know where that coming from. You know where's that. Well, it's so good to be in here. I just want to do in English everything, right? Because it's good exercise for me. And English is not my first language. It's always what I said. But I try to do my best. And being clear, if you hear something weird, excuse me. So I don't want to say a bad word, but could happen. So I don't want to say something wrong, but could happen, right? And in El Salvador, God has been good. God has been so good with us. I'm from Costa Rica. Maybe some of you know that. My wife, she's from Costa Rica. She's my wife over there. And the beauty, you know, the most beauty woman in this hall is my wife. And she's with me. My kids are here, but they are in Joe's house and eating all what he can eat. And we are so thankful to the Lord for being here and just share a little bit with you something about God. I don't want to talk too much about what God has been doing. He has been doing amazing things. God has been so faithful to the ministry, and you are part of that. Maybe you have no big idea about this, but this church and many people a lot of you are part in our ministry. Some of you comes to the country, right, to be in part with us, and some of you donate in some moment about it. My family, even some of the members of my team, even the ministry. And so you are part of what God is doing down there in El Salvador. God has been good. But I just want to share with you so quickly about the future. I don't want to talk much about the past. I'm going to see the future. Where are we going? So in El Salvador, we have, as you read before at the screen, we have 262 what we call municipalities, which is small towns. 262 total all around the country. Our goal is to go to each one of those 262 towns or municipalities. We have been already in 163 of those 262. It's a lot of work, a lot of travels, a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of effort to get to those 163. But one of the biggest challenges that we have, one of the biggest desires that we have, is to be in each one of those towns, but not only being in those towns. It's just to connect with the local church in each one of those 262 towns. But something that we realize is that not in all of those 262, there's a local church. It's interesting. Not in all of those. So God is allowing us to be like a bridge too. Like to connect churches that they have a vision of planting new churches with these locations that we don't have local church. And we can let the pastor know, hey, pastor, do you want to plant a new church, right? We know where we don't have local churches. So we can give you the name. We can be part of Word of Life. We can be partner with them to go to that location and try to plant a new local church that we can reach out to people, and also they can have a local church, they can join them. You know, it's kind of be rough. If you've been in El Salvador and you've been traveling around the country, you will realize that there's a lot of towns in El Salvador, there's kind of be rough areas that you can be in those locations. Not only because there's gangs issues, situation of security, but also because our towns, some of those 262 towns are really far, far away. Getting to the mountain where even no transportation to get in. There's people just walking all around for hours and hours. They just walk to get to a store. So this is some kind of different realities, but it's a big challenge that we can plant a local church in those locations. So our goal is to go to each one of those 262 locations. At Word of Life, we just have another step for future. Right now, in Word of Life, you saw the picture of my team. Right now, we have 22 people working in my team. But praise the Lord, we have 8 more at the Word of Life Bible Institute in Mexico. Training to go back and serve the Lord in their country. And we have one couple in Argentina too, preparing themselves, training for serve the Lord. So our prayer request is that most of them, they may come back, join the team, that we can do, we can get into the next step of the ministry. What is the next step of the ministry? We are right now in 2 different locations in Salvador. San Salvador City, some of you know that city, and La Libertad area, which is the coast, you know, the ocean. It's so close where we have the World Light Camp, the World Light property. It's a La Libertad area. So we split the country in 6 different regions. Our goal as Word of Life is that we can expand the ministry all around the country. Not being located only in San Salvador. San Salvador has to be like the headquarters offices. But we want to expand the ministry and spread the Word of Life team all around the country. What is the goal? Is to have in each one of these 6 locations, teams of people living in those locations. So pray the Lord, next year we are beginning with this vision that we have. Some of you know Pablo and Amanda. Pablo and Amanda, they are in Mexico already, preparing themselves. They will come back next year to the country. So they will be working in the 3rd location. Right now we have people working in the 1st one, which is San Salvador City. The 2nd location is La Libertad, which we have people working in that area. But we're going to get to the 3rd location. Some of you heard this name before, Chalatenango. Chalatenango is a nice area, kind of be high level, you know, a little bit more fresh than the rest of the country. But Chalatenango is a kind of be country area. There's not much local churches in Chalatenango. So Pablo and Amanda, they will be the couple that are going to be moving to Chalatenango to live in Chalatenango. So what does bring that new vision in the ministry for us? What is the next step of this vision? Is to be close to the local church. Be close to those people that we are discipling. Be close to them. Be close to the needs that they have. Be close to the opportunity that we may have. Right now, a lot of people is calling Word of Life. Hey, we need help. Can you bring this drama? We have 5 drama, different kind of drama that we use for evangelism. Can you bring this drama? Can you do this? Can you do that? But sometimes the problem is we have to drive. That means money for us. Sometimes we don't have it. That means time for us. So, but we have people living in those locations. They just go out their houses. They can accomplish the needs that they have. You know what I mean? Being close into the local church and being close to the needs that they have. So next year, Lord willing, we're going to accomplish the 3rd area. Right now, we have 2 couples in my team that they are praying for the 4th and the 5th area. Some of you know Oscar and Brenda. Oscar and Brenda, they are praying for the 4th region, which is Usulutan. It's the 4th region. The 5th region will be San Miguel, which is far away. It's the hottest area in the country. It's going to be, you need to have a heart to live there and to work there. San Miguel is the city in El Salvador country where we have the less number of local churches. The Central American Mission, just to give you a number, Central American Mission, which is the biggest, one of the biggest denominations in the country, they have only 2 churches in Old San Miguel. If you go to San Salvador, they have 80. But if you go to San Miguel, only 2 hours and a half distance, only 2 churches in Old San Miguel. So Mauricio and Katy, they are another couple, they work in my team. They are praying to go to San Miguel area. So Lord willing, in the next 3-4 years, we're going to be covering 5 of those 6 regions that we are praying to the Lord, that we can have teams living in those areas, that we can be more, that's the word that I use. We want to be more effective in the work that we are doing. We have been working hard this time, and God has been good with us, but we want to be more effective is what we want. So I just want to share with you and pray about it. That you may pray for my team, pray for Word of Life El Salvador, pray for my family, my wife, myself. We are obviously overseeing all the ministry, and I don't have only El Salvador ministry as a responsibility. I'm overviewing Honduras too, so I'm traveling to Honduras back and forth, and El Salvador is my main responsibility, but I'm traveling to Honduras. I'm overviewing Honduras, but I'm part of Mexico two projects, the New Bible Institute in Mexico. So I'm traveling to Mexico too. So God is bringing to my life more responsibilities, which means being more busy, okay? But it's for Him, you know. If God called us to do His work, what do we have to do? His work. What did He call us to do? So pray for my wife, my family, but also pray for Word of Life El Salvador team down there. God is so good. As the song said, all the time. God is good all the time. So I just want to share with you a little bit about that. But I just want to go to the Bible. Do you want to spend some time with the Bible? Okay? Are you coming to learn about the Word, right? Or not? Salo, did you came to learn about the Word? Or are you just sleeping? Are you okay? I saw you like with a big desire. We'll see if this works. I know. Looks like not. You mean? Okay. It's coming. Good. Okay. This is one we're going to talk. You know, God put in my heart this concept. I was in La Libertad, so close to the camp. With one of the teenagers, you know, Word of Life, we work with a lot of Bible clubs. So we call Bible clubs. Bible clubs work means to work with teenagers. And one of the guys that he helping us, his name is Pablo Binuesa. He's from Santa Ana City. He was with me in that trip. We were in my car. We were traveling to the camp. And he made a question to me that made me think so carefully about my answer to him. He came up to me and said, "Roy, we are living a hard time, right?" Is what he said. Yeah, we are living a hard time all around the world, right? We watched the news of Baltimore a few weeks ago. We are having a hard time. We are having a hard time. And El Salvador, we are having a hard time. A bunch of things around. And he said, "Roy, we are living a hard time." Yes, Pablo, we are having a hard time. And he said, "What can we do to fix it? What can we do to do something that helps to fix this situation that we have around?" You know, the first thought that comes to my mind, it may be the same thought that you may bring to your mind. Okay, we need to train more the policemen. They need to do a better job. Oh, the government, they are corrupt, the governments. You know, everybody that is in politics, they are corrupt. They steal the money. That's the first thought that sometimes comes to your mind and my mind. Right? These people, they don't care. They just want to be in the White House. They want to do that because they want to get a lot of money. You know, they don't care about the people. That's the first thought that comes to our minds many times. But I keep quiet. And I honestly really think about my answer. And I was thinking about it and say, you know, Pablo, I think that if the church, if the body of Christ, if we do what we really have to do, many things will be different. You know why? I've been thinking about this concept. Why we, as the Church of Christ, are not proclaiming His name? I was thinking about this in my mind. You know, this question that He made to me made me think carefully about my role in the body of Christ. I just want to encourage you that you think in your role in the body of Christ. But I thought about my role in the body of Christ. I was thinking about if we as a local church, if we as a body of Christ, if we as a church, we may do what we have to do, many things will change. You know why? Because all that the government, they may do, they may fix external things. External things. They can change the law. That will help. For sure, that will help. They can be less corrupt. That will help. Sure, that will help. But no one of those things change a heart. No one. Those things will help, for sure. But no one of those things will heal a heart with bitterness. You know, in Salvador, we have a hard time with gangs. But when we get into those guys, when we talk to them, we had a camp, a summer camp some few months ago, we have a gangs camp. We have 75 gangs members from the Mara 18, the gangs 18. In our property, in our camp, 75 of them. You will talk to them one-on-one. When you talk to them one-on-one, you will realize that the deep problem with them is bitterness. Broken families, sex abuse, people beating them, mom left them, dad left them, bitterness. You can change the law, but the only one that could heal a heart with bitterness is Jesus. So I was thinking about this concept. And I was praying the Lord, and I was reading the Bible about, Lord, bring me a verse to my mind that helps me to think about this concept. You know, you have your Bible. I put this on the screen because helps me a lot when I'm speaking in English, because helps me with some words, some concept. Do I'm clear? Is understanding? This good? So I'm just trying to improve my language, but I tell you, if you hear something weird, forgive me. I tell you. I made once a big mistake. I didn't know that I made that mistake. Later on, someone came up to me and said, Roy, be careful with this word. I said, thank you, because helped me did not to make it the same mistake again, right? Think about these verses. If you go with me to the Bible, I just put a couple translations, couple versions that you may compare about this. The New King James Version said about Luke 9:23, said, you know this verse, right? Jesus, he was talking to the Jews, right? People that they always been asking him about to respect the rules, you know, respect their tradition, this kind of thing. And Jesus said to them, he said to them all, say, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. When? Daily. And follow me. But look how the New International Version translates the same verse. Look at how different sounds this verse. Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple. If every one of you wants to be my disciple, must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. The same concept, follow him, but you can see two point of views here. The first verse talks about if someone has the desire to to follow him, you need to understand one concept. You need to deny yourself. That's the concept. But I like how the New International Version translates this verse, because it's more specific. It's more specific because it uses the word disciple. Disciples. You know, and I was reading this concept, and I was just to use one of these words to explain carefully or be more clear about the concept that you and me, sometimes we understood about the word cross. Because if you walk through these two verses, in both verses talks about someone who wants to follow Jesus, but Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you need to take one decision. Take the cross. And follow me. So when we think about the cross, we have a problem with the concept of the word cross. Sometimes we have a bad understanding about the word cross. When we think about the word cross, I'm going to be talking, and you may read what I have behind me, because that's going to help you to understand what I'm saying. Sometimes we have a wrong concept about what does Jesus say about take the cross. When we think about the cross, sometimes we understand the concept of cross like situation that we live in life. Like, for example, tense relationship, a problem, physical illness. Sometimes the situation that we live around our neighborhoods, our country, our family. And sometimes we use this expression that you can read over there. It says, this is my cross that I have to carry. You know, did you use that expression sometimes? Yeah, I did it too. I did it. Sometimes when we have hard times, when you quit your job or somebody fired you out, and we have, when you have problems in your family, when we have struggles in life, sometimes the first thought that comes to our mind is, oh, this is the cross that I have to carry. That's the way that we understand this concept many times. But that doesn't mean, has no connection with what did Jesus try to say to them about take the cross. Let's see what is the correct concept about the cross. When we want to understand correctly the concept of take the cross and follow me, you know, remember this picture. Jesus was there walking to the cross, right? Walking to the mountain. He was carrying what? A cross. But next to him, his right hand and left hand, everybody was just next to him, looking at him walking with the cross. Nobody that was looking at him walking to the mountain with the cross, nobody thought, oh, poor boy, he's having an illness. No, that wasn't the concept that they had in their mind. The concept that they had in their mind about the cross is the concept that you may read in that the screen down there when it said, the concept means die. The cross, the concept that comes to their mind every time that the Jewish, they may see someone with a cross on their hands, they understood that they were walking to. That's what the concept that they had in their mind. So when Jesus was talking with them, and Jesus said, if you want to follow me. So what did Jesus was trying to say to them? Die to yourself. Take your own mentality and put it aside. Take your own desires, put it aside. Take your own pride and put it aside. I'm not saying that it's wrong that we have something in life. I'm not saying that it's wrong. I'm not saying that you want to have a good degree and you want to have a great work. I'm not saying that I wrong. But understand me what I'm saying. I'm not saying that that is wrong. What I'm saying that is wrong when you put that in the place of Jesus. When you take Jesus away from your life and you put something in his place. When Jesus says, you want to be my disciple, you need to understand something. Deny yourself. Obviously, when you take out what you have in your life, there's something, there's like a hole. It's empty. So something has to fill it up. Who has to fill it up? Jesus. So we need to understand more carefully what the Bible said about take the cross. When the Bible said you want to be my disciple, you need to take the cross means that we need to be available to die ourselves and let him live in me. Let me tell you this story. You know, a long time ago, a missionary, he was serving the Lord in one of these countries that you can't preach free about Jesus. I'm going to say names, but he was preaching in one of these countries. But the government, they figured out that he was talking about Jesus, that he was preaching the gospel. But they couldn't take him because he has a diplomatic passport. So they couldn't take him. But they figured out how to make him, supposedly, quit of his purpose to be preaching the gospel. They brought a big, this one of these big machines, and they make a big hole on the ground, and they took his family, wife and kids, put them on the hole, all the dirt, right? Yeah. The sand, all the dirt was outside. And they called him and said, come on, you've been preaching about Jesus. We want you get out our country. But we can't touch you because you have a diplomatic passport. If you, right now, if you deny Jesus, and you stop to talk about Jesus, and you stop to talk about the gospel, we will forgive you, you and your family, you can go out. If not, they're going to lie. They're going to die right now, alive. He stops, think, pray. He bow down.
His wife,
he kissed his children, and he said, I love you more than anything, but I love more Jesus. See you in the eternity. And he kept preaching the gospel. Deny to yourself. You know, and sometimes you and me complain for stupidities. I don't like this color of shoes. And we complain. I want to be honest. I want you to understand my heart. This is something that God talked to me. Sometimes we complain because today there's too much rain. But the next day, there's no rain, right? We complain because this shirt... I like more different. You know, I'm not saying that those things are not important, but sometimes those things takes more value than the name of Jesus. I'm not saying that you and me, even I don't want to pay that price, honestly. If I want to be honest with you, I don't want to pay that price. And I hope that you doesn't have to pay that price, that you don't have to pay that price. But what about in your daily day, about being his disciples? Let's go a little bit more, okay? I have 10 more minutes. Can you hold me for 10 more minutes? I just want to, you may see a little bit these two verses over here. Luke chapter 14, in two different versions too, New King James Version, a New International Version. It said, and whoever does not bear his cross and come after me, what is it said? Cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. If you see, if we can see so carefully, always the cross is connected to be disciple. Always. If you can't, or if you don't want to carry the cross, you can't be my disciple. But if you want to carry, even if you carry the cross, you can be my disciple. Always the cross is connected to be his disciple. Remember, the cross doesn't mean this kind of situation that we live in life. The cross means to give him his place. That he has to be my first in my life. That every time that I want to take my decisions, I need to talk to him first than my feelings. Every time that I need to start a new challenge in my life, every time that you want to open a new business, every time that you want to move from one place to another, every time that you want to do something, who has to be the first that you need to go to and talk about it? Him. But let me be honest with you about this. Many times, Jesus is for us like a fireman, that he works for a fire station. We call him when we have fire. We have an emergency. My building is on fire. Could you help me? He comes, spread water. Fire's going out, goes out. What do we do sometimes after that? Thank you. See you in the next emergency. It's what we do sometimes. We are not giving to him the first place. So, I was reading about this concept a little bit. And was thinking about this concept about being a disciple. A disciple is the person who stops thinking only about himself and look around the reality of needs that he has around himself He'll look around and hear the needs, and he give them what do they need. What does the society need? Jesus. It's what I was thinking about this concept. Let me tell you a little bit something interesting for me. The word disciple, I just wanted you may learn with me something about this. You know, the word Christian in all the scriptures only appeared 3 times. The word Christians. We call ourselves what? We are Christians. But if you read the Bible, only 3 times you may read the word Christian. In those verses, Acts chapter 11, Acts chapter 26, and 1 Peter chapter 4. But if you look for the word disciple, which in Greek is the word matetes, that word appears 269 times. Only in the New Testament. So if you think about this idea, what is more important for Jesus? Just being a Christian or being a disciple? Hear carefully. I can be a Christian and not a disciple. Listen carefully. But to be a disciple, first, I have to be a Christian. So many times in local churches, we are Christians because we trust in Jesus. He came to my life. I know that He saved me. What you said when you were praying, thank you, Lord, for your grace. Because my salvation, because your grace in my life, you came to my life, and I know that I'm saved. But what about being a disciple? It's different. I can be a Christian, but not necessary, I'm a disciple. Think about this. Just 3 times, the word Christian. But 269 times, the word disciple in the Bible. I just want to finish giving you 2 concepts about this issue about being a disciple for the Lord. Being a disciple for Jesus. Well, there's a definition over there, but I don't want to get time in that. I just want to give you 2 concepts. The first one, 2 Bible conclusions. Number one, you can find in John chapter 8, verse 31. Just two Bible conclusions about this concept. Number one, the disciple is a student. The disciple is a student. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 31, So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. For sure, a disciple is a student. A disciple has a master with him. He's sitting, learning from his master. He's just sitting, receiving the lessons, receiving the instructions. He's a student. There's no doubt about it. Why? Because a good disciple understands that in his word, in the Bible, in his word, is where you can find the wisdom. Is where you can find how to walk in life. In the Bible, we can find forgiveness. In the Bible, we can find what we need. But sometimes the problem is that we only stay in this situation. Being a student all my life. That's the problem. You may think carefully about this with me. I just want you to think carefully about this with me. Sometimes my head is growing and growing and growing and growing and growing. Why? Because I'm getting more knowledge. I'm a student. A student is the one to receive instruction. I'm putting a lot of information in my head. I've been talking with many people, and people who knows about the Bible a lot, even more than me. He talks about Hebrew, they talk about Greek, they talk about many things in the Bible. I know people, they read the Bible many times a year. Maybe you're one of those. Because we are a student. A good disciple is a good student. But let's look at the second one. A disciple is a student. I don't want you to feel wrong about this word, Sal. I just, thinking about this word, I thought about you. But you were fighting always about the socialism, right? I know them very well. I disciple is an activist. Bad for Christ. Look at what the Bible said in John chapter 15, verse 8. By this my Father is glorified. Look at this. Did you read the verse before that we read before about the student said that we abide in his word, stay in his word, right? His word has to be something, one of the most important thing in my life. But look at this. Those verses doesn't talk about the glorify the Lord. These verses talks about the glorify him. How can I glorify him? Being in the Bible only? Or apply this second verse? Look at this. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear, what does it say? Much fruit. So you will be my disciples. But I love how the English Standard Version is the right word, right? Look at how the English Standard Version translate this verse. I love how this concept said. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, and so prove that you are my disciples. Brothers, many times we talk about that we are believers, but we don't have much proofs. Right? Let's be honest with ourselves. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you more than anything. Tomorrow we are going out to share the gospel with the neighborhood, 6 a.m. in the morning. I love you, Lord. But that time, the bed is so good. We talk much about how we love him, but sometimes we are not doing much to prove it, how we love him. Being a disciple is knowledge. I'm a student. But being a disciple is to take all what I learned, all what the master is telling me, all what my pastor is teaching me, all what the missionary that comes to visit me is teaching me, get inside of my life and live it day a day in my life. I'm not telling you that you have to be a pastor. I'm saying that. That's a personal calling. I'm not telling you that you have to be a worldwide missionary. I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you that disciple is the one that understands what God wants for him and he lives it day a day in his life, in his work, in his house, in his school, in his college, in his church, in his life day a day. The words abide and bear are verbs of action. The true disciple is an active learner. The ones who learn believe what he learns. I just found these two last concepts that you may read on the screen. I love it. For me, I love it. The believer, just the Christian. Remember that we compared the word Christian with the word disciple? The believer, the Christian, struggles to grow many times. But the disciple is the one who reproduces. The believer always is expecting to receive. Give me bread, give me fish. Give me bread, give me fish. You have to give me, you have to give me, you have to give me. But the disciple is a fisherman. So, conclusion. Who are you? A Christian or a disciple? Who are you? Did you take the cross? Did you deny yourself and let him lead your steps? Who are you? A Christian or a disciple? Think about it. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we want to come before you, Lord, with a humble heart. Lord, it's easy to learn how to be a disciple, but it's not the same to live every day as a disciple. Lord, help us not only to learn about your word, not only to hear about your word, is to believe in your word. To understand, Lord, that even in the good and the bad times, you are in control. Doesn't matter the situation, Lord, that we have been passing through. You are God all the time. And we need to understand, Lord, that the only thing that you require from me is to be your disciple. Not only a believer, it's just to live according to your word. Father, we are living hard times. But we as a church, we need to live according to your word. If we as a church, we share about your name, we share about you, Lord. If we spread the gospel without fear, maybe many changes could change. Many situations could change. Lord, help us to be your disciples. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.